And as is the case, when you are poor and hardly know how you are going to live with your children, you do not always have patience. You do not enjoy such an existence and do not ask about the meaning of such a life. So I simply felt it was a burden and bore it because many others were not doing any better at the time. But the world of God was not at all happy with me because I had no goodwill for my fellow human beings, not even for my family. I heard a lot about this in the spiritual world, and I was also punished. When you are in that other world, you look at everything differently. You complain about yourself that you were not able to live a more God-pleasing life. You then see that life must have had a meaning, you should have reached a goal. But I did not ask about the meaning of life at the time. I did believe in a God and prayed now and then. But we were so poor. The few animals we had did not give us a sufficient income. Well, I do not want to dwell on that. But I must stress that I did not know how to live together with people in love. I myself had a lot of arguments in my own family and with my neighbors. I lacked patience, attention and goodwill, goodness and love. I was a dissatisfied person, but I didn't particularly fight against fate, precisely because, as I emphasized, others weren't doing any better. You couldn't feel happy with such a life, at least that's how I felt. But now to the other part. I was then called away from this world. When I opened my spiritual eyes, I was really astonished to see that I was still alive and was told that I had now said goodbye to the earthly world, but that life would go on. I turned around in amazement. But I was immediately led away to a certain level, to many other souls who were just as heavily burdened as I was. Now listen. I was first led to a dwelling. Oh, it was perhaps as sober and joyless as the one I had already become accustomed to on earth. So I made no demands on the spiritual world, especially since the surroundings were not inviting either. There was nothing beautiful to see and I quickly found out that life here would continue in the same old way. There was nothing there that could make me happy and delighted. At least that was my first impression. But I was given a room in the house all to myself. At first I moved around and looked at my appearance. I had the impression that I was still wearing the same clothes that I had worn as a human being. So, I thought, everything is actually staying the same. But what I found quite unpleasant were the shoes I was now wearing. I thought, when I was in the sick bed, I wasn't wearing any shoes. Where did I get these shoes that are as heavy as lead and cause me pain when I walk? The more I looked at my shapeless shoes, the more I felt discomfort. They were really heavy shoes and I had a lot of trouble moving around in them. So I thought to myself, I'll just make myself comfortable. Lie down somewhere and wait for things to happen as they come. I simply won't go any further if I have to wear shoes like that. Just as this thought was taking shape in my mind, someone was standing next to me. I knew immediately, he is here on behalf of a higher power. It was the same spirit being that had led me away from the earth. I recognized it immediately, and this being, an angel of God of course, said to me, "You shouldn't think that you could make your life so comfortable here. We put these heavy shoes on you. You hardly noticed or saw it when we did it. But don't think that you can lie around because of that. No, you're coming with me now and I'll show you the work that awaits you." Of course I had my objections and asked, "Do you have to work in heaven?" I find that strange. I assumed that God would make heaven pleasant for you. That he would forgive you for all your mistakes and sins, you just had to ask. But then I was taught otherwise. They told me, "Now you will be punished for your lack of love. You must now feel the full weight of your life, because you have not lived as you were expected to. You have committed a great deal of injustice." This accusation brought my flawed life before my eyes. They even reminded me of the individual conversations I had had here and there. Yes, I had to admit my mistakes. But I still thought it was a bit harsh to have to put on these heavy shoes because of it. I was not at all capable of working and said, "Please, get rid of these heavy shoes. I would like to work here, but these heavy shoes are hindering me. I cannot walk in them." They did not answer me any further, but simply said, "You will be punished, but not here in this desolate environment. It cannot mean punishment for you. Because it does not make an impression on you. You were never used to anything beautiful. You will be punished in a different way, because you must be punished for the injustice. You must feel how painful it is. I had to set off at my companion's side. I only made very slow progress. My companion led me to a huge mountain of straw and reeds. When I got there, he said to me, "You have to remove this whole mountain. You have to bundle the straw and reeds neatly." And the heavenly companion showed me how to do it. He had practiced at it, he was quick at it, because he was light on his feet. He laid down the reeds and straw and arranged them into bundles of the same size. Then he took some reeds, tied them around them and tied the bundle together. Then he told me that I had to do the same. "Take the bundle, I will show you the way, where you have to carry it and what will happen to it." It wasn't all that big, this bundle. If I hadn't been wearing those heavy shoes, I could have carried it easily. So I had to pick it up and I followed my companion with a slow, dragging step. It was tiring for me. My heavenly companion didn't carry the bundle for me, I had to carry it the whole way myself. I took it under my arm once, over my shoulders another time, and tried to carry it in front of me. I always tried to find a more comfortable way of carrying it. But whatever I did, it remained the same and my feet hurt. Finally we came to the place where I was supposed to lay the bundle down. My heavenly companion then opened it and showed me how to lay it down on the spiritual ground, carefully arranged lengthwise. He said, "I will come a few more times and take the same route with you to show you how to handle these bundles." I wanted to know how long it would take and whether there was no other way for me. I could surely make myself more useful in other ways and make up for what I had missed. But the heavenly companion didn't want to hear of that. He was also rather taciturn. He walked patiently with me. I had to arrange the second bundle myself. He stood next to me and told me how to do it. After we had already walked back and forth a few times, a lot of straw and reeds had already been carried away, he showed me how to make a mat out of it. I had to kneel down and do the work as he had shown me. I wanted to know who these mats were for. He answered briefly, "They are for your brothers and sisters, they are waiting for them." Then he had to leave me, but said before he left, "You will find people like you here, but now you must continue to fulfill your task. You see the big mountain. When you have completely removed it, the terrible time of suffering is over for you. In between, you can think about many things and change your mindset." Then he left. I continued to walk back and forth. Suddenly I felt as if my eyes were widening more. I now saw other beings, whereas before it had seemed as if I was all alone in these vast spaces. First I saw a spirit, whose spiritual appearance was dark in color and who, it seemed, also had a difficult path to travel. He was not very far from me, so I could see him well. I looked over at him and waved to him to come to me. I couldn't go to him very well, but I saw that he was barefoot. He came to me and nodded to me. He gave me the impression of suffering. He showed me his hands, and that's when I knew. His hands, his fingers, were surrounded by a sticky mass, and he kept trying to strip it off or shake it off, which obviously caused him pain. So he came to me pleadingly and put his hands in mine. We couldn't communicate with words, because he spoke a language I couldn't understand. But I understood what he wanted. His hands hurt and he looked to me for help, cooling, release. He put his hands in mine, pleading. I pointed to my heavy shoes and he just nodded, we were fellow sufferers. He made it clear to me that he wanted water, because he thought he could use water to free his hands from the sticky mass. But I had no water, I didn't need any water and didn't see any anywhere. Then he showed me the work he had to do. He, too, was standing in front of a mountain of large stones. They seemed to be hot because they were steaming. When he lifted the stones, he showed me with his hand movements that carrying them away was causing him great pain. He, too, had to carry the whole mountain of stones away and sort them in another place according to their exact size, He had to build a long wall with the stones. He too had been told that his work was meaningful and that it had to be done. He had to do this difficult work to atone for his crimes. We wanted to find out from each other what our guilt was. We saw it in the spiritual realm and therefore did not need to say it. The images of life's events were there in plain sight. He saw my mistakes and I saw his. I saw that he had killed a person. The question immediately arose in me as to why I should live with this spirit being. So my first thoughts were, do I have to be with a murderer, so to speak? My guilt is not as great as that of this murderer. I soon rejected these thoughts, because this spirit no longer had the expression of an evil person. He had become a suffering spirit, and I thought, if we have been brought together, then there must be a reason for it. As a human being, or at least I believe so, I would not have shaken hands with him, I would not have felt pity for him. No, as a human being of my development, when I was so insensitive to my relatives, I would certainly have been even more insensitive to him. Now we were fellow sufferers and so close to each other. I could not help him and he could not help me. But he kept coming to me and putting his aching hands in mine. He made it clear to me in sign language that if he could put his hands in mine quite often, which would cool him down, then he would help me to carry away my burdens of straw and reeds. Since I had to carry them myself, he would pick me up and carry them together. He was strong enough, and just as he carried these large stones, he would carry me too. He made this clear to me. But I realized that just as I had to do my work, he also had to do his work. I could not help him, not even with carrying his stones. But now we had the feeling that our work would be easier if we could at least look at each other. We saw each other working, and everyone was aware, we are now in the other world. Here we must obey, and here we will experience the just punishment for our unjust actions in life. I would also like to add, the desolate surroundings alone would not have made an impression on that spirit, whose appearance was dark. The surroundings alone could not mean punishment for him, one must therefore also feel pain. We looked around and it seemed as if a curtain had been drawn. Our eyes saw further and further, and we saw more and more fellow sufferers. First we recognized a Japanese man who had to carry water with two large vessels that were attached to a frame, carrying yoke. He had to scoop this water out of a pit, it was hot. And with the help of this frame that he had put over his neck, he had to carry it to another place. The hot water gushed out of the spiritual ground, and where he had to carry it there was a large, hollow area into which he had to pour the water. This cooled it down so that it was no longer so hot. When I saw this, I thought of my suffering comrade, because he wanted water. He himself pointed this out, he could see it too. At the same time, however, he had to realize that the water was steaming, but he wanted cooling water. I found access to the place where the water was poured out, but had no vessel, and the Japanese did not give me one. He made it clear to me that he had to fill this large hollow with water and thus atone. He also made it clear to me that this burden bearing was painful for him and that he almost collapsed under the weight, but he had to do it. We looked at him and also saw his life. Usury and extortion, so clearly marked, were his. We felt pity for each other, neither blamed the other. We felt each other's pain. The Japanese saw both my guilt and that of the black man, and he too was not outraged at having to be with a murderer. None of us three could talk to each other, we could only communicate through signs. Now we saw another spirit being, it was a Chinese man. Then I started thinking again about what sense it made that I had to live here with a black man, a Japanese man and a Chinese man. Ah, I thought to myself, they are all, just as they are, creatures of God, created by His most holy will. I must be able to communicate with them and probably more than that. The pity was already there. The Chinese man also had his burden to bear. He saw us and showed his sore hands. Yes. Spiritual hands can also be sore, the world of God can make it that way. We looked at his life stories. He too had killed a person and now he had to work hard with his sore hands. He had to fill baskets with spiritual earth. He had no shovel, with his bare, saw hands he had to fill the earth into baskets and carry it to a place. He looked at us and we looked at him. We agreed that we were all in debt to God. No matter what religious beliefs the Japanese, the Chinese or the black man had, they had to recognize that God was above them, as well as above the white man. This Chinese man also did his work laboriously, dragging his feet. When he saw the black man come to me and put his hands in mine, he also came and put his hands in mine. I embraced them and he too felt the cooling he longed for. But we realized that we could not complete our tasks in this way. We had been told that once we had finished our hard work, the difficult period of suffering would be over for us. And so we only prolonged our suffering if we did not continue to work diligently. We found comfort in each other, even if we could not utter words of comfort. We could see that everyone felt for each other. No one would have been willing to take on the same guilt, to carry out the same act again. And everyone silently vowed, if I were given the opportunity to become human again, I would not do such a thing again. I would search for the meaning of life and strive for the high goal. So we had come to a better attitude relatively quickly. But that was not all. We saw another suffering spirit. We already knew that we had all been brought to this wasteland at the same time, so to speak. Everyone had taken on a heavy burden. Now we saw another tall, slim Indian. He had a chain wrapped around his neck and body. It was immediately obvious that this was causing him great discomfort. He too had to do his work. We looked and saw large vessels that seemed very heavy. He had to carry them. He could not roll them because they did not stay on the ground. As soon as he came near the vessels, they rose up from the spiritual earth of their own accord. So he had to grasp them and take them to their destination. To do this, he had to hold this load firmly to himself, and he could not remove the iron chain between them from his neck and body. The load pressed the chain even further into his spiritual body, so to speak, which visibly caused him pain. He too had been told, work, and when you have done it, then even the greatest suffering will be over for you. When we visited each other from time to time, we all went to him, despite our discomfort. We were considerate of one another. Some came to me because I couldn't walk well, and so we communicated using sign language. Everyone spoke in front of themselves and no one could understand the other's words. But since you could indicate a lot with your hands, you knew what was meant. So we all knew that we had our work to do here. It took a long, long time and we were often very tired. But when you saw that someone was almost at a loss, you went to him to cheer him up. You did it to each other, you comforted each other and you understood each other. It didn't stop us whether the other was an Indian, a Chinese, a black, a Japanese or, like me, a white woman. Whoever it was and what he looked like didn't matter. You just felt pity for the other person. After a long, long time we saw that the Indian had finished his work first. He had shown great strength and endurance, while the rest of us had tired far too quickly. From that moment on, when the Indian had finished his work and nothing else happened, no one asked about him. He came over to me and helped me to arrange and bind the reeds. Then he went to the others and helped them to carry the stones and the water. Everyone who had finished his work helped the other, despite their own great discomfort. Because the Indian's chain had not yet fallen off, not yet. Nevertheless, he managed to help the others, despite the pain. So I was the last one to sort the bundles. They had all offered me their help, and together we carried the bundles and were of one mind. We already felt love for each other and could live for each other, despite the great pain. When I was the last one to carry away the last bundle, we sat down together and waited. I would like to emphasize, only the spirit beings described, met each other. We could not see any other suffering brothers and sisters. We had been bound together by fate, so to speak. It had a special meaning for each of us. And as far as we could, we each prayed for ourselves. We asked God for forgiveness. At the end of our task, the Chinese man was even able to sing. The burden no longer seemed so heavy to him. We were together for a while. Everyone still had their problems. But we helped each other. I could sit down, but but I was not free of the heavy shoes. The others no longer had to carry their heavy loads back and forth either, so they could put their sore hands in ours and find relief in this way. Then they came. This time it was not just one person. It was not just the Spirit of God who had shown us the work and demonstrated it. No, it was a small group of spirits of God who came to us. They approached each one of them individually. They untied my shoes. And it was so easy, and I thought, if only I had done it that way, I could have gotten rid of those shoes. But that would not have been the case, because I would not have been able to do that. So everyone's burden was lifted. The black man's wounded hands had also healed, the sticky mass on his hands had disappeared. And we were very happy. We shouted, we were full of joy and embraced each other. We were free, free, we had put the difficult time of suffering behind us. Then we were told, now you must say goodbye to each other. Everyone is going to a different place, and everyone will be taught what is most important for them. We all shared the wish to be able to meet each other again, and we were happy to have overcome these barriers in the spiritual realm. We were told, yes, this experience, this feeling should penetrate deep into your soul, so that at the right time it will emerge again in this purity, that the same clear desire still lies in the soul. We were promised that we could meet each other again. The spirits of God even told us that one of them had to be the first to go to Earth to take another test as a human being. Whoever it was, they wanted to be his protective spirit, the Indian to me or right to the black man. So we didn't know who would be chosen first. But we made a promise to each other, whoever was kept back, would give his protection to the person with whom he had shared the time of suffering. We promised to then stand protectively over him and to act as a warning to him. Then we were all led away from this desolation. So I must now talk about myself. I was now allowed to move into a beautiful city, a wonderful, colorful city. Now I could feel what was wonderful and beautiful, now I appreciated it. I was taken to a beautiful house. I was now receptive to all things, I was considerate and full of love. I felt the greatest attention and kindness for each one, as they met me. Yes, my soul had been purified by not only having to bear my own pain, but also the pain of others. We had carried each other, and that could no longer be taken from my soul. I loved the black man or the Chinese man just as much as these beautiful figures that I now met in my new home. Yes, I even longed for them, because I had spent a difficult time with them. But now the spirits of God said to me, you have now served your punishment. Now you must be taught, because you have not received any instruction, you simply had to experience different feelings. I was now receptive and open to everything. God's plan of salvation and order was revealed to me. I had no doubts, no disbelief, because I was purified. I knew that I had rightly deserved the punishment that I had received. I was told why I had even been in the same sphere as murderers. I was told, more was expected of you, and your guilt was considered as great as that of an extortionist or of someone who had killed a person. Because you could have done more, more could have been demanded of you. At that time, during the time of suffering in the spiritual world, one did not need to be afraid of the other person. One did not need to be afraid of being killed, but rather one felt pity, because one saw the other person suffering and he was helpless. In this way one became closer. One could not despise the other person because he too had a great guilt upon himself. One did not feel this contempt, only pity. One only had this feeling for him and hoped that he would soon find release, that God would be merciful to him. The subtle feelings had to develop in the soul, and that could only happen through this pain. For no one who was with me during this difficult time, for example, would have been painfully impressed by the desolation, no one. None of them were used to beauty and made no demands on life in this respect. Precisely as the spiritual science of Martinus describes the logic of RO.REM. But if, for example, a person today who is used to a well-kept environment, a beautiful house, had to make do with a dilapidated hut in a desolate environment full of dirt, he would be very, very unhappy. This would give him the impression that he did not have to suffer any physical pain in order for his soul to be purified. His soul can find purification in this way, because he has to live in this renunciation of beauty and is only longing to be free from this desolation, from this environment. Every person is judged differently, development is so different. I was told that they wanted to teach me about the plan of salvation and order. I was told, we have also arranged it this way. When you are called to the next life, this togetherness should have a positive effect. When you return to the earthly realm, we would like you to give the others the same friendship as you once did in the spiritual realm. That you feel love for them and want to live for them, serve them and help them. So, if it becomes possible, we will bring you into such a task, so that you are not seized with disgust when you wander on earth as a human being and see those truly suffering people of those nations and say, I don't care about them, I have my task among my own kind, that you are prepared to say, I am going to them to help the poorest. Perhaps you can go to one of those countries, as a carer for the sick, perhaps as a missionary, or you can fulfill a task for those people in this respect, by promoting understanding and goodwill in order to bring them closer together. You can only do this if you have already started to form bonds in the world beyond. When you are led to this task, your soul can begin to rejoice. You can then help the others, those strangers, as people say, in a serving way. But from the spiritual point of view, there is no strangeness from person to person, there is only brother and sister. This strangeness must be overcome. This is how these tasks were promised to me. I am still in the spiritual realm, I am still being taught a lot. I do not yet know which path will be chosen for me. But it seems to be becoming clear to me that my divine brothers and sisters are trying to lead me to become a unity, from person to person, far beyond the borders. So I am waiting for my task. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you about my life, as best as I could. If you have any questions, which have certainly arisen in you, you should address them to our brother Joseph. I am going back to my task. May God bless you all and give you the strength to work according to His holy pleasure. Greetings from God. Dear Spirit Teacher Joseph, may we find out what relationship this soul has to the house of Linus? Joseph, dear brother, you should not be of the opinion that all spirit beings that we bring to you so that they can describe their experiences for your instruction, necessarily belong to the house of Linus. The spirit that spoke to you said that today he is in a different development, in a different relationship than back then. Because they are all ascending spirits. Once they have reached those levels, they are attached to where it is considered good for them. We know from many revelations that we can also have guardian and guiding spirits who belonged to another human race in life. Can we assume that such a community of fate also exists with them? Joseph, for the most part, there is such a spiritual connection, but this connection continues. For the most part, this friendship and connection is maintained out of gratitude. These beings in purification could not understand each other. Will it perhaps be the case that everyone will only understand each other when they have reached higher levels? Joseph, in the higher levels, one can understand each other, because from a certain level of development one also understands the different languages. You should not think that one is only taught in God's plan of salvation and order. One can also learn languages, but not everyone has the talent for it. In the highest levels, however, there is the language of love, and one understands it. Experience report of the ascending spirit being Sophie and questions answered by spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Template, tape recording. Next case. October 5, 1960, Theodore, origin and resolution of a difficult fate. Preparation for a life as a physically disabled person. Control spirit. God bless you, dear brothers and sisters, I bring you all God's blessing. Now a spirit will speak to you, and you should listen carefully. You can then draw comparisons with what you also encounter in life. Through these explanations you can always learn something for yourself, for your own advancement, and you also get an insight into the other world, how it goes there. Well, God's blessing be upon you all. God bless you. Theodore, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, I had a very difficult life.